Announcements to make, but I'm going to continue on in the message, a faith that sees you through, a faith that sees you through. And we're dealing with various aspects of faith that are very critical to us in the Lord, in God seeing us through, that we may receive that which has been promised. Now, I'm going to go on to that in just a minute, but here I want to make this announcement. And right here, with your miracle prayer request. Okay, let's get them in. And we're going to take September the 22nd, Sunday, September the 22nd, will be our miracle prayer proclamation day. Remember I said we're going to do it in September? That we are going to make those proclamations, all right? Faith proclamations. On September, as a whole congregation, on the September the 22nd. So, I don't know what you've been doing, but there's your prayer request, your forms. You press in, you press on, right? And you prepare your heart for that day, okay? You prepare your heart for that day. And so we're doing that Sunday. We'll do other things, but we're going to make those faith proclamations on September the 22nd. I told you that this was coming, and so I'm going to announce the date, and that is that our men's conference theme being Man of the Spirit will be November the 2nd, Saturday, November the 2nd. You can mark that down. Mark that down. We do not have a sign-up list or anything like that at this point. I'll give you more information as we go along, all right? We're going to start. We're going to do it here. We're doing it here, all right? We may do something else at a later date, at a later time. But here with this conference, we're going to do it here. We'll be in the basement, and we're going to have, I'll just give you a little of the schedule. From 8:30 to 9 will be a time of greeting and fellowship, and you never know, we may have coffee and juice and fruit and donuts and the like at that particular point in time. And then we will, I'll have segment teachings. I'm going to have segment teachings on some various subjects. We'll have praise and worship, music. We're going to have special music. We're going to have a testimony. I think that you're going to find it enlightening, encouraging, and also life-changing. And so you be setting those dates aside. You go ahead and mark your calendar off at work. You tell them I got more important things to do that day than to work, and I'm going to receive from God. That's going to be November, Saturday, November the 2nd. I'll give you more information. We're going to have lunch. We're going to have a good lunch. We're going to have a good time. I don't like to use this word, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that is that we're also going to have a lot of fun. All right. Okay. Amen. So there we are. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. This is a day to rise. And you have heard the last song that we just got through singing, and then you heard a prophetic word that came forth about rising. This is the day to grab a hold of that being raised, come up higher in the Lord. I have a word that the Lord gave me, a prophetic word that the Lord gave me that last night, and I will speak it. In just a little bit. We're going to prepare our hearts and prepare the way that we may be able to receive all that God is promising in what the Lord has spoke to me. All right. So, but right now, I got you in Hebrews chapter 11 and some things that I want to give forth here, you know, about the way of faith. And we know this scripture so well, and we're going to study it. We're going to do this series for a little while as we go forth or until God tells me no more. But anyway, here we are in Hebrews 11. And I'm not going to break all this down. I'm just going to make it as a foundation of a statement. It says here, I'm reading out New American Standard, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, The conviction of things not seen. And this is faith. This is a description of faith that tells us when you are in faith. And we see that we have a part, and we see that God has a part in this. And we know that is the power and the work of Almighty God that establishes you in faith. There's been too much that's been put on the believer to believe. There's been a burden, a spiritual burden that the believer can't carry and can't manifest. All God's looking for is a willing heart. A willing heart. Because I tell you right now that the way that you are perfected in strength, in His strength, is through your weakness. I don't like being weak. I don't know about you. I don't like the intimidation of it all. I don't like the feel of it. I want to be confident. I want to be strong. I want to be certain. But that's all in the way of my flesh. And God breaks it down and He brings it down. Oh, yes, He does. He breaks it down and He brings it down so that you can be perfected in Him and in the power of His anointing, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and rising out of your innermost being comes this confidence of God called assurance. And only God can do that. Only God can bring about assurance. And of course, we talked about this last week, and I'm not going to do the same thing because I got to move on here. But you know where this starts at is a willing heart. You know, willing heart, and it says the assurance of things hoped for. That Greek word is elpazo. All right, and that word, that Greek word elpazo, it's a phrase, and it means hoped for. We also find in Romans chapter 8, I think it's 24, around 24, 25, around that area right there. We do not hope for what we have. You know, for why do you hope for what you see, but we hope for what we don't have or what we don't see? You know, that's where we hope for. We hope in the things that have been given to us, the things that have been promised to us, things that are not manifested before us, but we know that they have been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I say, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Get off your phone. Oh, get off your phone. All right? The devil's going to devour you with that thing. Okay? Get off that social media. All right? Get a little discipline in your life. You know, I even told you a story going down the road, and I looked over and there was an OMU workers, and there's about five or six of them. They were putting in a telephone pole. Pretty big deal, right? And they're right beside the truck, right? As they were lifting up the pole, trying to put that pole in the hole right there, here was this guy with his red helmet on leaning against the truck. Do we not have any discipline anymore? Are you going to let God steal your seeking Him and finding the glory of God and finding all that He has for you? You got to dig in. You got to dig in. You got to dig into your God. You got to take time with the Lord. You got to let Him speak to your heart, speak to your mind. Let Him have His way with you, and He'll bring about great, glorious, and mighty things in your life that you never, ever dreamed or ever expected would ever happen in your life. Because He has a holy and mighty and glorious destiny if you're in Jesus. You can file that on Sermon 607, okay? But it's important. And it doesn't matter if it's social media or whatever it is, you know. I was talking, I know I'm getting in trouble now, right? Oh, I'm getting in trouble now. You know, because I was talking to he's a man, right? You know, I'm a different generation. I give it to you. Okay. You know, and we were talking, and he's got children and everything else. And he talked about video games. I know. Video games. I mean, don't do that blood and gut stuff. And don't do that blood and gut stuff. It's in opposition of your confession. And then don't come around and call on Jesus and look for miracles. You better get it straight. You better get it straight who you're going to live for. You better get it straight how you're going to live, what you're going to do, because your answered prayer and the move of God and the fulfillment of the promises of God is just not because you sat here in church and said amen. It's walking with the Lord. It's walking with the Lord. And there's a cost that's involved in walking with God. There's a cost. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. Oh, but the cost is nothing. It's nothing compared, Romans 8 says, compared to the glory that is to be revealed. Okay. Walk with the Lord. Let him have his way. I don't care if it's video games. I don't care if it's social media. I don't care if it's your phone. You know, I don't care if it's whatever it is. But you got to know that the evil one will try to keep you as preoccupied and entertain your flesh just as much as you possibly can to keep you from seeking after the face of Almighty God. Because when you start seeking after the face of Almighty God, glory to God, you're going to run into him. And this is that faith. This is what brings us, is this faith of God right here. Is now faith is the assurance, and the Spirit of the living God brings about that kind of assurance. It's manifested. It's manifested by the power of God. It's because I begin to hope for things not seen. It goes on and it says right here, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, the evidence, I know another version will say, but the conviction of things not seen. I'm not going to talk about that much right now. But other than the fact that, just think of it, that the Holy Spirit begins to bear witness of you of things that you can't see, but they've been made promise in Almighty God. And then the Holy Spirit begins to give you vision. He begins to give you discernment. He begins you to have a witness, you know, a witness on the inside of you, an undeniable witness that comes from the power of God. It's so much from the power of God that you understand in your inner being that you know it's the power of God. You know it's the Holy Spirit. You know it's not you. And it doesn't matter what the naysayers are saying. It doesn't matter what the circumstance looks like. That you have this conviction and that you're going to stand in that conviction because you know that God has witnessed the conviction to you in the manifestation of holy assurance. This is how God changes things. This is how God brings down barriers. This is how he answers prayer. Or do we think we're going to say a couple of little prayers, you know, and then we're going to see the power of God? Or are we going to just throw up our hands because we have no endurance of heart and we're just going to say, oh, well? God's looking for a people that will press in. He's looking for a people that will press through, that will wait upon the Lord, that will take time with him, that will put their faith and their confidence in him, that will open up their heart before him, that they'll give everything in their heart, that they'll make him his God, their Lord, and he'll show himself strong. You know, what happens many times is that the evil one, we start to stand and we start getting a little resolve in our hearts, and the evil one says, well, here, oh, all right. So he thinks he's going to stand, is he? Okay, all right, I'm going to put a little pressure on him. You know, let me put a little pressure on him, a little affliction. Let's just see how much he's going to stand. Don't you think that the evil one's not going to do it either, you know, because he will challenge you every step of the way. You know, but in the midst of that holy weakness that we have and that frailty that we have where we humble ourselves before Almighty God, or we cry out with our heart because we know that we don't have the power and we know that we don't have the strength, and we say, oh, Lord God, help me, oh, Lord God. You know, we're not looking and praying simple little pretty prayers, but we're crying out to the Lord our God with all of our heart. And it doesn't matter what the words are. Doesn't matter how pretty they are. Doesn't matter how they sound. Doesn't matter if they even make sense to anybody else. But God looks at the heart and he sees the words that are being expressed. And he comes and he moves in the power of the one that says, oh, God, be my strength. There are warnings in Scripture, and I'm not going to touch on them much, but I want to come over here, and I want you to see here in the 12th chapter, it says in verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and that crowd of witnesses are everybody that's listed over here in Hebrews chapter 11, And I'm not going to read them right now. It would do you good. And all of the circumstances and all of the conditions and all of the incredible things that they went through, but they overcame. They overcame. God gave them the power to overcome. God moved in their life. God answered their prayers. God gave them the victory when the victory seemed almost impossible to be able to find. And that's the cloud of witnesses. And, you know, when it says a cloud, what in the world? And when it says a cloud of witnesses, well, you know, a cloud is something that overshadows. You know, if you had a big cloud, right, come over, you know, the sun was shining brightly, and then all of a sudden it got shady, didn't it? Well, this is the cloud of witnesses. You know, they are overshadow every obstacle and every objection as to why we have no hope, or why we don't think that we'll receive, or why God can't move, or how impossible the situation and the circumstance is to us. We have a cloud of witnesses that overshadow, that causes all those things to be wiped away, that says, oh yes, he did it for them. Glory to God, he'll do it for me. That's the cloud of witnesses and the power that comes out of simply believing God. The evil one fights you every step of the way. He'll fight you every step of the way in believing God. He'll tell you how useless it is. So, you know, see, we're doers, you know, our fleshly man, you know, give me something to do, you know, that I can earn the favor of God. Well, we're out of luck, right? We're out of luck, because that's not the way it's going to work. And yet we rest in him and believe upon him. And our old flesh says, get up and do something, right? Get up and do something, because it just makes us feel better, right? It just makes us feel better. You know, and it becomes the temptation of the evil one as well. But we rest in him, and we sit back, and we believe on God, you know, with all of our heart. And as we believe on God, we have an expectation, elpazo. We have an expectation that God is going to move. And we let him be Lord over us, and we let him be Lord over the situation, and we give it all into his hands, because he is our trust, and we're trusting in him with all of our heart, and we're waiting on him and knowing that he's perfect in all of his way, and he's perfect in all of his timings. And we trust in it with all of our heart. Then peace comes. A spirit of rest will fall on you. The old devil comes with a fiery dart and says, get up and do something. Get up and do something. You need to get up and do something. You know, what the evil one's trying to do is afflict you and move you out of the realm of walking by faith and believing and waiting on God. That's what he's wanting to do, because at about that time when you begin to, I better get up and do something, you start getting up and doing something, then you start having expectations in what you're doing to accomplish something. Oh, and I'm not talking about the right kind of expectation in God. You know, I'm talking about a fleshly expectation. You understand what I mean, right? You know, you got to watch that, because we do that. We get expectations, a fleshly expectation. You know, that's when we put timelines on God. You know, we put timelines on God. Yeah, well, you know, I would have thought that he would have moved by now. Right? I would have thought he would have moved by now. I can't see no reason why God hadn't done it. You know, expectations, the fleshly kind, not the spiritual kind, but the fleshly expectations. See, that's what happens. You abandon your position of rest and faith. That's what we did. You know, you had the peace of Almighty God. You had the assurance moving on you in a greater way. You know, there was that conviction of those things unseen. And, oh, man, that thing was homing in you, homing in you, homing in you, getting greater and getting greater, getting greater and getting greater. And you weren't even paying attention to what things looked like anymore, because you just didn't care what it looked like anymore, because it's Jesus that's Lord over the circumstance. He can change things in a moment. Things that you and I could not touch, and it would take us years to do anything about, that he comes in the midst of it and he touches it, and when he touches it, he transforms it. All by the power of his might. And waiting on God, you just get stronger and stronger, not becoming more weary and weary and weary. That's when you know your flesh is getting in your way. Are you believing God for something? Are you waiting on God for something? Are you becoming weary as you're waiting on God? Let that be a sign to you that you need to humble yourself more. And you need to depart from those expectations and those efforts after the flesh, because it's wearing you out. And the evidence of it is that while you wait, you're not getting stronger, you're getting weaker. Which is the natural inclination of the way of the flesh, right? You get tired of waiting. How long am I going to have to wait? You know, or whatever it would be. That's the natural inclination of the way of the flesh, but not the way of the Spirit. Cloud of witnesses, and they all overcome by faith. You will overcome by faith, by believing God, by believing God. Now you believe with your heart, and you confess with your mouth. And what is it to believe? Not your intellect, your heart. That's what the word says. Not your intellect, but with the heart. And how has God designed the heart? How has he designed your heart? I'm talking about spiritually. The heart has the power to commit itself. That's what the heart does. Commit itself. The heart gives. Give your heart to it, son. Right? Their heart just wasn't in it. And we all know what that means. You know, because that's what you do with the heart. It's not intellectual belief. But see, there's a lot of people that, I want to believe God, and I want him to fulfill promises, and I want to inherit the kingdom of God, but I don't want God to mess with me. Then forget the promises. I've heard person after person, you know, really, to be honest with you, be angry at God, right? Well, if God answers prayer, then why this and this? And I'm talking about people that confess to know Jesus, you know. They become bitter in their heart. And the reason they become bitter is because of that expectation, that humanistic expectation. You know, that their expectation has been dashed to the ground. They didn't know that they needed to lay it all down before the Lord and be perfected in the expectation whose nature and character is assurance. They didn't know that, or they resisted it. Now, God will hear and answer your prayers, and he'll move you in your life in a mighty way. He will glorify his name in you. He will make you a sign and a wonder in the earth. You know, that's what it says in Isaiah, that my people are for signs and wonders. And there, he's not talking about, you know, the power of spiritual gifts in signs and wonders. Right there, what he's talking about is you become a sign and a wonder in the earth. My goodness, that guy is different. He's so different. Because even when you don't even aware of it, you're wearing the character and the nature and the glory of Almighty God. Just having, here's a good one for you. Just having joy and gladness makes you different. Doesn't, you know, right? Because everybody in the world is a bunch of sourpusses, right? You know, belly achers and complainers, right? Have you ever asked somebody how they're doing and then, you regretted that you ever did it? I'll know not to do that again. Right? Because people in the world are dissatisfied, right? They may glory in something for a moment or whatever that would be. That's why they got to have one thrill after another, right? You know, in the world, man, you gotta have one thrill after another. You gotta have something else that makes you happy. You gotta have something else that, you know, preoccupies you, that gets you off your misery. That's what a lot is going on, to preoccupy your mind with so many things and to preoccupy yourself and your heart so that you'll never take a good look at yourself and wonder why you're in the condition that you are. Because if that ever happens, you might humble yourself and turn to God. Some people live a lifetime trying to entertain themselves. That's what they do. Oh, they're thrilled for a while, you know. But as they say, the new wears off, right? Isn't it amazing you go by a junkyard or whatever, or maybe you're driving out in the country and you see, you know, where somebody's, you know, got a bunch of old junk cars that are laying there, you know, and the grass is growing out from under them and everything else. And you think about, don't you wonder how they were on the day that they drove that shiny new car off the lot? Oh, right? You know? I have a funny feeling they don't think about that car in the same way they used to. Don't you? Right? Oh. I pray God will bless you with all the new cars that you want, okay? All right? But oh, boy, you know, come see my new car. Oh, come and look at it. May God bless you with all the new cars that you want, okay? You know, but oh, come look at my new car. You know, oh, I better put it in the garage, you know. But you know, in 2 years, you won't care if it's in the garage or not. My mother, bless her little heart, you know. Oh, they took care of their, you know, they took care of everything. They took care of their cars, you know, because they come from, you know, poor old dirt farmers that had absolutely nothing. My mother would take eggs to the store so that she could trade it for candy. That's what she would do because they didn't have any money. She always talked about, said we had plenty to eat. We did, but we didn't have any money. You know, and that's the way they were. And nobody helped my mother and dad do anything, right? My mother and dad made it on their own, you know, and them alone. And if they weren't going to make it on their own, they weren't going to make it whatsoever. So they took care of everything. But, you know, I used to get so frustrated with Mom, you know, because, you know, Mom, I think, would be the only person that I'm wrong about with that 2 years, right? I mean to tell you that her car, you know, we would park 15 blocks away in the middle of nowhere and walk into Kroger or whatever it would be, you know. And, you know, she stayed consistent with that, you know, because we ain't parking around no car, you know. I mean, because, you know, the next thing you happens is the nicks and dings and everything like that, you know. Well, but most people, they'll do that for a little while. Then the new wears off. Well, what bright, shiny thing is entertaining you right now? What bright, shiny thing is entertaining you where the new is going to fade away? You're going to have to find something different. May we not spend a lifetime doing that. May we not. May we not spend a lifetime doing that. Oh, may we let our God in. We let him have his way. And I said that, you know, you got to let God mess with you now. What does that mean, to mess with you? Well, what it means is that you come to the Lord and you want him to answer your prayers, and you see promise in God even in the word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You find promise. This is called the sword of the Spirit. Okay? The sword of the Spirit. Don't go on your feelings, go on the promises. Don't go on your feelings, go on the promises. Get into the word of the living God. Don't just read it, believe on it. Pray it back to God. pray it back. I pray scripture all the time. If I'm not praying in the spirit, then I'm praying scripture as a whole. Okay? Or crying out to God in the midst of my weakness. You know, but as you call on the Lord, and he is faithful and he is true, but those that want God to hear and answer, and they take faith and they put it in a box. There's been a lot of abuse of faith. There just has. You know, because the devil knows the power that's behind the simplicity of a willingness to believe God. And he knows that it'll lead you down a path that'll make you that sign and that wonder in the earth, that other people are going to come to Jesus just by observations of your life without even saying a word, because you live differently. You've got a different heart. You've got a different mentality. I mean, you got that thing, as I mentioned a minute ago, that comes only through the Holy Spirit. You know, it's called the new wine of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because it's a new wine of the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't have any after effects. It doesn't have any after effects. There's no hangovers with the new wine of the Holy Spirit. You know, but there's the uplifting power of Almighty God that transforms you and makes you a different kind of person, that causes you to find gladness and joy. And that gladness and joy is a very real thing that is manifested in you, but it's manifested through a fellowship, through a relationship, through an intimacy, through a movement, through a yielding that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that is filling your heart with joy. And the New Testament in 1 Peter says that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is called the true riches of the kingdom of God. And this is the riches of the kingdom of God that our God wants to pour out upon his beloved as they follow him, as they let him lead them and have his way. And there's a certain amount of courageousness that has to be laid hold of. You have to have a willing heart. There's a certain amount of courageousness, because circumstances and situations can make you fearful and they can intimidate you. Don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. And then as you walk with the Lord in the midst of your weakness, you know, and yielding to the Lord and letting the power of the Holy Spirit come into your life, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit, and don't be too prideful for him either. He'll bring gladness and joy. And it comes from him. It won't come from your trinkets. It won't come with your new entertainment. With your new toy. Okay? That you keep going from one to the next new toy. That excites you, makes you happy, and then it fades away. This is called the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Gladness and joy. I hate to say it, but there's many Christians that don't know anything about it. It's the keeping power of Almighty God. It lifts you up and puts you in another state of being. It lifts you up and it puts your mind, it puts your heart, it puts your attitude. May God release you from attitudes that are of a destructive nature. Holy Spirit is doing that right now. If you will yield yourself, he's removing attitudes that are of a destructive nature. And you wonder why you've got so many troubles in your life. And the reason that you got so many troubles in your life is because of the mindset that comes from a destructive attitude. Be released from that attitude in the name of Jesus now. Many times we look around and we say, oh, I can't figure out what's wrong. And we keep looking to the source of the problem. We don't realize that many times the source of the problem is what's going on inside of us. I got another one. Oh, the heart of God is broken over this one. Moods of darkness in the name of Jesus. Oh, moods of darkness. Be released in the name of Jesus now from foul, dark moods. Be broken now from your affliction and your bondage and your inner torment and your inner misery. In Jesus' name. They've been interfering with the way of the Holy Spirit. They've been interfering with the full manifestation of the joy of the Lord. Turn away from it. Depart from it. I don't care if your mother had it or not. Doesn't mean it belongs to you. In the name of Jesus. When you begin to believe God, He starts messing with you. It's okay. It's a good messing. And about the time you start standing by faith on something, there's something starts surfacing up out of your innermost being. It's a light of understanding. And all of a sudden in that light of understanding, something comes to light that the Holy Spirit is putting His finger on. And what He is saying is He's saying, okay, I'll hear your prayer. I'll give you the promise. I'll fulfill my good word. Give that to me now. Give that to me. I want you to give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And as you release it to the Lord, you don't have to change it. He's not asking you to change. He's asking you to give it. Do you understand the difference? There's a difference here. He's not asking for you to change. No, He's not looking for you to change one little bit. He's saying, give it to me. Give it to me. And you may even feel in your innermost being, you may feel like, I don't know how, oh Lord God. I don't know how to give it to you. But as you're crying out in that manner, you are giving it to Him. In the midst of it, you're finding something happen. Doggone it, it was a good thing that I gave that to God. You know, I thought that it made me be me, you know, or I didn't know why I was that way, or I've always been that way. Again, my mama was like that, you know, or whatever would be. It doesn't matter, but it enmeshes itself in the fabric of your personality, but it is of a destructive nature. Anything you have that meshes itself into the fabric of your personality, but it has a destructive nature to it, is not God. It is not God. And it is not the will of God. And the last thing you ever want to do is learn how to live with it. Learn how to live with it. That's when you settle, and that's when you have no hope of your deliverance. So let Him mess with you. Let Him mess with you. Be willing. Open your heart. Let Him mess with you. Now He's going to go for deep-rooted things, you know. Oh, let me tell you something. Just don't waste your breath, because I've done it a million times, and it takes a while to learn, but I'm trying to help you. You can't bargain with God. You're looking at a professional. I am a reformed bargainer. I belong to the Bargain Hunters Anonymous. I'm the chairman of the committee. Groveling doesn't work either. You know, we have ways of influence. Sometimes they're subconscious, right? As to how we influence people around us. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We might be very well aware of those devices, but then sometimes, again, we don't maybe fully know or fully aware, but we, like to play on people's emotions. Some people do it methodically, viciously, wickedly, and evil, but others have learned a way, all right? And they play on the emotions, start crying, or something. Okay, I'll do it. Okay. Yeah. Or whatever. But groveling, the kids do it. And they get their way. You know what I'm talking about. You get so tired of being pestered, that you give in and say, okay then, go ahead. It worked. We do it as adults too. Oh, groveling, acting pitiful, right? I think I've told you, I'll probably tell it a million times, but I was, on the floor, groveling before God. I was a pitiful mess. You would have been impressed. I was a pitiful mess. I really was. And I was just going to town. Oh, God. I was going to town, right? And all of a sudden I decided I'd stop and take a breath, right? And about the time I stopped and took a breath, I heard the voice of God. Are you through? I'll never forget that. Clear as a bell. Are you through? Yeah, I think so. Might as well get off the floor. And then, yes, Lord. See, God delivers us all of these things because these are afflictions that get in the way of a true faith. He removes these things. Sometimes it hurts, but it's okay because the benefits are far, far greater than the loosening of that affliction that has ingrained itself and meshed itself even into your personality. Hallelujah. Oh, we just bless you, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart and give you glory and honor. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me a word. God is moving his people up higher. This Sunday is a Sunday of rising. This is the word the Lord gave me late last night. But I want you to, as you hear it, how many times you've already heard it this morning. Which is amazing to my about my God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a point in a time. May we prepare ourselves. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. This is the word that the Lord did give me. And that in the name of Jesus, I loose this word here on September the 8th of 2024. And I declare it over you, the people of God. In the name of Jesus. Let faith arise in your heart. Stand up in the Lord your God. Receive from his mighty hand. Rise up and be counted for in the kingdom of God. Let me have your heart and all that is in you. Will I not magnify my name over you? Will I not lead you in the way of life and glory? Will I not keep you, raise you, and bless you? Will I not receive you to myself and let you behold me? I declare now you shall receive an abundance. An open door is before you. Come, step into the house that is yours. Lounge about on the furnishings I provide. A house of glory and grace built for you. Come, step through the doorway and receive of mine. And then the Lord gave me these scriptures at that time. I will read them. In John 10:7, Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Here's verse 9. Pay a special attention. Verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Receive this declaration in the name of Jesus. Receive this declaration. In Jesus' name, let an abundance of pasture be released now into the lives of the people of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kathy, would you all come on? If you don't mind. In the name of Jesus. May the impartation of grace and power and love be upon the people of God today in the mighty, holy, righteous name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell you a little story. Then I'll let you go. I really felt that strong impression. The devil's been trying to kill you all your life. Okay? That's broken off of you in the name of Jesus. You know, I wasn't supposed to be. They induced labor in the 7th month. My mother had uremic poisoning. They were trying to save her. That was their point, was to save her. This was in the 50s. I weighed 4 pounds. I weighed 4 pounds.